The case for stricter gun control laws. Pencils, ballpoint pens, spiral notebooks, student planner, bulletproof backpack. If you're a parent, you may have deduced that this is a selection of items from a typical back-to-school list, with one seemingly incongruous and ominous addition, the bulletproof backpack. In actuality, anti-ballistic products for children have been flying off the shelves this year, must-have items for many parents, desperate to alleviate the agonizing fear that their child will be a victim in yet another school shooting. Sadly, this reflects the state of affairs in America today, where mass shootings have become endemic. According to the Washington Post, there have been a total of 167 mass shootings, with four or more people fatally shot since 1966. Of the 1,207 killed, 191 were children and teenagers. The single biggest massacre was at the Mandalay Bay Resort in Las Vegas, Nevada, on October 1, 2017, with 58 people killed. The worst school shooting took place at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, on December 14, 2012. A total of 27 people were killed, the tragedy made worse by the fact that 20 of the dead were 6- and 7-year-old children. With mass shootings reaching pandemic proportions, they can no longer be considered aberrations. This year, the number of shootings has reached an astounding average of one per day, leaving people asking when we will finally come to grips with this abhorrent situation and end the carnage. Each time another shooting takes place, we are once more forced to witness the anguish of family members and friends grieving the loss of their loved ones. Counselors are provided to console the traumatized, and there is talk of healing. We wonder if we have finally reached critical mass, if everyone has finally had enough, and lawmakers will at last address the crisis by enacting stricter laws to curb the violence. Unfortunately, a familiar cycle has developed. Whenever a shooting occurs, there is a public call for action, with even gun owners decrying the bloodshed, and politicians from both parties seeming open to change. But too many lawmakers fail to follow through on their rhetoric, resisting any effort to restrict gun sales, even simple steps like requiring stricter background checks and red flag warnings for people with known mental health issues. The reasons for this inaction lie in the interpretation of the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, pressure from gun rights groups such as the National Rifle Association, NRA, and a lack of courage on the part of many elected officials who see the issue as a political landmine. The Second Amendment states that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The interpretation, however, has been a bone of contention between gun rights supporters and gun control proponents. For gun rights supporters, it means individuals have the right to own any kind of gun, no matter how destructive. Gun control proponents, on the other hand, claim the language represents a collective right, that it is the right of the country as a whole to possess weapons for the purpose of national security. In 1939, the Supreme Court embraced the collective interpretation, but a 2008 decision resulted in a reversal when the court struck down a Washington, D.C. law banning individual ownership of handguns. The court did, however, make an exception of sawed-off shotguns, reasoning that such weapons would not be used for any legal purpose. In most modern mass shootings, the perpetrators have acted alone, using automatic weapons capable of discharging shots in rapid succession. Gun control advocates see this as analogous to the sawed-off shotgun exemption, with such weapons having no legitimate use for individuals. Regrettably, Congress let a 1994 ban on assault weapons lapse in 2004. The NRA has endorsed many lawmakers who are reluctant to disavow the political and financial support, even though most of the organization's own members are in favor of some kind of limits. Moreover, increased polarization between the Republican and Democratic parties has obstructed any kind of bipartisan action. It's understandable that parents and others have sought alternative means of protection as a last resort. But a clear majority of Americans now recognize the situation has become untenable, and we cannot continue to accept stopgap measures. Statistics show that in countries where stricter laws have been adopted, such as Australia and the United Kingdom, gun-related deaths have plummeted. We must press our lawmakers to take meaningful action, and if that fails, exercise our power at the ballot box by voting out officials who refuse to seek a solution. 1. Why has the sale of bulletproof backpacks and similar anti-ballistic items skyrocketed in the U.S. recently? 2. A 2008 U.S. Supreme Court decision reversed a previous ruling and upheld the individual right to own handguns. What exception did the court make, and how have gun control supporters used that exemption to argue for stricter laws?